This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. In the contest for the Republican presidential nomination, there's a curious dynamic playing out. The presumed frontrunner, Donald Trump, is benefiting from lots of free media attention, in part because of the many controversial things he says. And here we are once again talking about him. But it's worth noting that some of Trump's harshest critics help fuel this dynamic. And a case in point is the escalating war of words between Trump and New Hampshire's largest newspaper, The Union Leader. The conservative daily has endorsed Chris Christie for president and this week published a front-page editorial. It was scathing, accusing Trump of insulting the intelligence of New Hampshire voters. Publisher Joe McQuaid calls him a crude blowhard with no clear political philosophy and compares him to the grown-up bully Biff from Back to the Future. Here's McQuaid talking this week on WMUR in Manchester.
Donald Trump has no business running for president of the United States. It's a free country, and I guess he can, but he shouldn't be, which I told him a year ago.
McQuaid argues that much of the news media are covering Trump because he's good for ratings, but his front page attack made headlines and helped fuel Trump's bluster. Here's Donald Trump yesterday in Nashua attacking the union leader.
You have a very dishonest newspaper up here. It's also a failing newspaper. It's going down the tubers. I remember when this was a big paper. Look at the size of this thing. If they cut it down anymore, you won't be able to find it. It looks like the things, you know, when you go to the grocery store where they give you a little handout. What do they call them? Coupons?
Yeah, coupons. That's it. So to the list of those he's insulted, Mexicans, Muslims, the disabled, women, you can now add the union leader. So in just 1 month, the voting begins in Iowa, then a week later, New Hampshire. And joining us now for a final end-of-year State of the Presidential Campaign is our good friend Ken Rudin. He hosts Ken Rudin's Political Junkie website and blog. And Ken, it's always good to have you, and almost Happy New Year.
Anthony, boy, I just can't wait for 2016, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Happy New Year to you, too, I think.
It's good. I think, exactly. So what do you make of this fight between the union leader and Trump just 5 weeks before the New Hampshire primary?
Well, you know what fascinates me is that in last July, when the Des Moines Register, now the Des Moines Register, of course, is the big newspaper in Iowa, when the Des Moines Register called on Donald Trump to leave the race, this is back in July when he was first starting all his incendiary and vulgarities and insulting kind of behavior, Donald Trump called the Des Moines Register dishonest and failing, the exact same words
Interesting.
He used yesterday in Nashua against the union leader. So, you know, you cross Donald Trump at your peril, and of course the media, as you point out very accurately, they eat it up because not only is he on every weekend talk show, he's on by phone. Who ever heard of a Sunday talk show in that having a guest on by telephone? They are so desperate for ratings that they have to have Donald Trump. And he's not spending any money on his campaign at all. He doesn't have to because of all the free media he's getting. It's just, I've never seen anything like it.
It's interesting, you know, I made the point in a piece I did a week or so ago that he's really defying the kind of conventional wisdom of how you're supposed to campaign in New Hampshire, and that is come to town meetings, answer questions, get up close and personal to all those voters. He's not doing that, and yet he's leading in the polls.
Not only is he not doing it, in the past, if you had a candidate who was accused of falsehoods or inaccuracies or anything like that, they would either apologize or retract some of the things or even drop out of the race, as we've seen before. And that doesn't happen with Trump. It incites him even further. And not only does it incite him, it incites his supporters. So whenever Donald Trump will read off, as he did in Nashua, what the union leader or any other newspaper is saying about him, his supporters will boo and hiss. And of course, you know, Donald Trump is right and everyone else is wrong. So far, it's working. Now, let's be honest. I mean, right now, you called him the so-called or the presumed front runner. Well, he is the front runner, at least, you know, in every poll in the country, except in Iowa. You know, right now, Ted Cruz seems to have a lead for the February 1st caucuses there. If Donald Trump falls on his face in Iowa, maybe there's some kind of a rebounding effect or, you know, a residual effect 8 days later in New Hampshire, or maybe not. But again, this is just remarkable. I heard your piece, Anthony. Everything he's doing is violating conventional wisdom.
It's really strange.
And it's working.
I want to talk to you about Iowa and then what happens after Iowa and New Hampshire, but I still have to ask you one more question about Trump. You know, we asked Joe McQuaid, the publisher of the Union Leader, to come on the show today, but he said he was too busy. But doesn't he play right into Trump's hands? I mean, on the one hand, he laments that the media sort of eats up this stuff because it's good for ratings. But then he's fighting this out on the front page of his newspaper.
Yeah, I kind of think that you know, as we saw when Jeb Bush and John Kasich and Marco Rubio and other people, when you attack Donald Trump, you don't benefit from it. We saw that in debates. It seems like Ted Cruz is the only one who has not taken on Trump, and he has not suffered the insults that usually come with it. In fairness to the record, we should point out regarding the union leader that it did endorse Newt Gingrich in 2012, Steve Forbes in 2000, and you all remember President Pete DuPont,
of course,
in 1988. So, I mean, in other words, I mean, look, you can endorse anybody you want, but when you use the front page of a newspaper to incite somebody like Donald Trump, who is so easily incitable, you're doing it at your own peril, and it just helps Donald Trump.
Well, I want to ask you about sort of what these candidates are doing and how they're responding to him, because the ones that I've seen in New Hampshire, they it seems like they bend over backwards. Not to mention Donald Trump. He's sort of the biggest presence in the room. Not long ago, I saw Jeb Bush, who became really testy when asked about Trump. But here he is speaking this week in Florida.
Donald Trump divides us in all of our disparate parts. He insults people. And that's how he garners the attention. The press eats it up. He's an effective politician in that regard. But he's never going to be president, and we need a serious leader. And I'm the only candidate that has gone after him because everybody else seems to be intimidated by the bully. I'm not.
John Kasich said recently, everybody's all hyped up about Trump's poll numbers. And here's Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton talking about Trump in an interview with the Des Moines Register.
I really deplore the tone of his campaign and the inflammatory rhetoric that he is using to divide people, and his going after groups of people with hateful, incendiary rhetoric. His bigotry, his bluster, his bullying have become his campaign.
But Ken, what kind of challenge does Trump's front runner status pose to the candidates, whether or not they should ignore him or respond to him? And I guess this question really applies to, you know, his fellow Republicans. I mean, it seems like they have to kind of walk a tightrope here.
Well, you know, first of all, you quoted two Republicans, Jeb Bush and John Kasich, who are in the low single digits nationally. I mean, once upon a time, Jeb Bush was the front runner, but now the two of them are like 4 or 3 points in the national polls, which is remarkable. But everybody says to the Republicans, you've got to stand up to the bully. You've got to stand up to Donald Trump. The last thing Jeb Bush wants to do, and you heard it in his voice, the last thing he wants to do is spend all his campaign talking about the evils of Donald Trump. But the media keeps saying, you got to take him down, you got to take him down, you got to talk him. Meanwhile, the media keeps propping up Donald Trump by having him on. Yesterday, I was watching CNN. I don't know why I was watching CNN, but I was watching CNN yesterday, and they had 15 minutes with an interview with a guy from Virginia who called Trump a moron. And so they interviewed him for 15 minutes. And I just don't. So anyway, look, the thing is, you know, once upon a time, you run negative campaigns, you criticize your opponent. But this is the vitriol, the nastiness. I've never seen anything like it. And I don't know if pointing out Donald Trump's former liberal positions, his money that's gone to Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. There are pictures of Hillary and Donald at his wedding, and they're all smiles. It almost looks like a joke, the whole thing. Like it's some kind of a prearranged marriage that we're getting involved in for 2016. But when Hillary Clinton goes after him, it's interesting. Hillary Clinton attacked him as somebody who demeans women and insults women. And Donald Trump came back saying, well, look, if anybody's insulting and demeaning women, it's your husband. And there was a very interesting column in today's Washington Post by Ruth Marcus that said, well, you know something, Donald Trump has a point here. So once we get liberal columnists saying Donald Trump has a point there, then we're in big trouble. But sometimes he does have a point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm wondering, too, it's easy to dismiss Trump as an unserious candidate the way Joe McQuaid has done. But he is tapping into a deep mine of discontent out there. So it seems like his political adversaries dismiss him at their own political peril.
You're absolutely right. It's not only the American people who are nervous and frightened and anxious over what's going on in the world. There's no confidence or little confidence in President Obama's ability to battle terrorism around the world. And we saw that in poll after poll after poll. But, you know, the fact is that the Republicans, many conservative Republicans elected a Republican Senate and a Republican House in 2014. And they say, wait a second, we still have Obamacare. We still have this or that. Now we have gay, same-sex marriage. What's happening? And so Donald Trump says, only I can stand up to not only President Obama, but the inept Republican leaders in Congress. That's why ultimately I suspect, and this is my prediction for 2016, I think Trump runs as an independent, and he is not the Republican nominee, but I think he leaves the party. He'll point out to the ways that the party is trying to thwart him or hurt him or diss him, and he decides to run as an independent, and he could do what he does best, attack both parties.
Interesting. All right, well, there's a prediction for 2016 from Ken Rudin, and I was going to ask you, to make another prediction. So if it's not Trump, polls in New Hampshire show that Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, and even Ted Cruz, who I know is doing really well in Iowa, are all sort of bunched together there in a hunt for second place. Who do you think poses the strongest challenge to Trump?
Well, my gut has always made me think that Marco Rubio may be the strongest candidate for the Republicans in November. He has a way of aligning and working together with establishment Republicans and the Tea Party. But of course, as we've seen in the last debate, his views, his record as being part of the Gang of Eight on trying to come up with some kind of immigration reform is hurting him. So, you know, the thing that scares a lot of people is that if the alternative to Donald Trump is Ted Cruz, who was far more conservative than Trump. I mean, Ted Cruz is very, very conservative, who many think they would just get demolished by Hillary Clinton in 2016. So if that's the alternative, then the Republican Party seems to be in this big problem. But they brought it on themselves by promising a lot of things to a lot of conservatives, didn't deliver, when, of course, you're not going to repeal Obamacare when you have a guy named Obama in the White House. So Trump has effectively played on these fears, these frustrations. And right now, I don't see anybody who's really stopping him. I mean, if Ted Cruz wins in Iowa, but let's say Christie wins in New Hampshire, then what happens? Then you go to Nevada and you go to South Carolina and you go to the Southern primaries on March 1st. Well, that's not Christie's strong suit. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
it's a big
jumble. We've seen a lot of times that winning in New Hampshire is not the be-all and end-all. Sometimes you could win in New Hampshire, as Gary Hart showed us, as John McCain showed us in 2000, that you could win there, and Pat Buchanan in 1996 when he won in New Hampshire in the primary there. So New Hampshire doesn't mean all that much, but once upon a time, Iowa and New Hampshire were supposed to level the field, get rid of the dead weight, and right now, the dead weight is, it seems like everybody's dead weight, because only Donald Trump is the name we hear over and over again.
All right. Well, more to come in the new year. That's Ken Rudin. He's host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie website and blog, former NPR political editor. Ken, thanks again, and have a great and happy new year, and we'll talk to you next year.
Anthony, there's nothing to be happy about. Happy new year, Anthony.
Okay. And listeners, stay with us. Coming up, our year in review series on the biggest advances in health and medicine this year. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.